This is Hard Parking, sponsored by Right Honda and Right Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm your host, Jay Finney, recording from my home studio in Gilbert, Arizona. So today, Monday, February 8th, the eclipse is upon us. Many people are driving across the U.S. to see these things. And it's kind of one of those deals where when you think about it, or if you don't really think about it, and you hear people going and you think to yourself, gosh, what a bunch of geeks. What a bunch of losers. I remember the last eclipse was 2017. I was working in Chicago at Northwestern Medicine, and there were droves of people, ourselves included, that went downstairs, got out of the office building, and walked up to the Navy Pier. I think it's called Navy Pier, to gaze upon this eclipse. And you don't really realize how big of a deal this actually is, and it's not really a nerd thing. This one, today, April 8th, 2024, is the first one since 2017 Chicago. And what they're saying is the next one won't be until 2047. Quick math, that's 23 years from now. So it's kind of one of those deals. So if you have an opportunity to go see it, if you're along the path, just look online if you don't know if you're on the path. And it might be worth your time to try to go and get a glimpse. You know, I think the closest it's going to get to Arizona is Texas. So I won't be seeing it, but I have a coworker who's driving across the country. He's kind of a history buff, a nerd buff. He's going to drive to see that. Then he's going to go check out Roswell, check out the crater, come down here to Arizona, and hopefully he'll stop by and I'll be able to have a brew with him. Made me think about Halley's Comet. When I was a kid, I always remember hearing about Halley's Comet. And so I did a little research. There's no way I would remember that now as a very mature 48-year-old. So Halley's Comet last appeared February 9th, 1986. You know what happened in February 9th, 1976? I was born. So that's my birthday. So no wonder I remember hearing about Halley's Comet, February 9th, 1986. And I don't remember. So I was 10 years old, so I would have been a Cub Scout. I don't remember if we went to go see it. And if we did, I probably wasn't that impressed because I was 10. And why would a 10-year-old care about stuff like that? Unless you're a super nerd. But I did some research leading up to this podcast, and Halley's Comet is not due visible in our skies again until they are estimating July of 2061. So again, if you have the opportunity to see this eclipse, take that opportunity. I'm not driving to Texas. By the time I got there, it'd be gone. I think they were saying around noontime on February 8th, you'd be able to see it over Texas. Coming up on today's show, John Vassos. If that name sounds familiar to you, it should. John is a very dear friend of mine. In November of 2020, John was told that he had less than 12 months to live because he has advanced stages of mesothelioma, an incurable cancer. Despite odds, he last appeared on the show April 10th of 2022. Now, again, it's April 8th of 2024, and I am pleased to have him back on the show. Wow, this guy is, he's been playing with house money, he's been living his life beautiful, and he's been doing everything that he's always done. Staying clean, meticulous, working on cars, growing plants. And I take this opportunity to talk to someone like John because, again, like I said, he's a very dear friend, but his story is an incredible one. And when you just have general conversation with him, it kind of reminds you of, you know, how great life is, how fortunate many of us are to not only know people like John, but to live healthy lives. What's happening is when you get these cancers that have taken so many of our friends and family, unfortunately, you have to witness them slowly degrading. Or it could be something sudden, like my friend Jim Cozzolino that we just lost just under a month ago. And I hadn't spoken to him in a year, and I haven't seen him in several years. But by the time I realized how bad it was, and he was home at, you know, for hospice, like I said a couple episodes ago, he was gone. And so over the course of this year, maybe not every few weeks or so, but I told John I'm going to give him a call, and we're going to capture some of his car knowledge. But I can promise you, we're not really going to talk much about cars in this episode. This was recorded on March 18th. I've talked to him since then, but we didn't record the conversation. This conversation was recorded on March 18th. I have recently spoken to him as early as Sunday, April 7th. He just appeared in a Savage Geese video. If you guys are familiar with Savage Geese, they're a really well done YouTube channel. And John Vassos was in there along with my friend Peter Cunningham. Next time we talk to him, we'll get his opinion on that video. I did speak to him and we'll just say that he wasn't that pleased with the outcome of the video. I recently bought some wheels. Bought some nice BBS from buye.jp. That's a website, an app that allows you to shop from Japan. And it's kind of an annoying app too, because half the stuff you want, it's a forbidden item. They're forbidden to sell it to you, but you can go on regular eBay or you can go on the direct Yahoo shopping eBay or their version of it and buy it without the assistance of Bai. So I bought these cool wheels, these 16-inch BBS wheels, very period correct to my new car. And when I bid on them, I figured, okay, 16 by 6.5. God, these things are sweet. $340. I could buy it out for $377, but I said, no, I'm going to put the $340 bid on there. I'm going to get a great deal, a great set of wheels. They come with tires that I can't use. I wish I could get a hold of the seller and have them take the tires off, but we'll deal with that bridge when we get there. Because Bai said, no, we're not going to reach out to the seller. We don't do that. It's like, okay, very good. So then during the time that I had this highest bid on this item that lasted for about a week, that's when I found the $50 ones here in Arizona. That's $12.50 a piece for four wheels. They're nice wheels. They look good. You've seen it on social media, hopefully. They look good on my Honda Z. So for the next 6 days, I was watching this auction and hoping that someone would outbid me. No one ever did. So I won the auction. So then I had to pay for the wheels to get shipped from the seller to the Bai site. And then I had to wait another 3 or 4 days for Bai to tabulate my shipping options to bring those wheels and tires that I don't want over here to the US of A. So I get my quote and I'm looking at it. And because they're so big, which they're really not, but because they're so big, it's $350 to $420 to ship them separately. So now I'm looking at $1,300 or $1,400 for something for shipping on top of the $300-something that I won the auction. So now we're pushing $1,900 for something that I don't even really want at this point. So I've reached out to a couple people. I reached out to a vendor that owns a business over there that buys and or that sells stuff to us all the time. And they said, well, I'm not a shipping company. You're out of luck. It's like, all right, you can ship the shit you sell, but you don't want to help a homie out because I've been a customer of theirs in the past. So I reached out to our good friend Yasu Chiba, you know, one of the supporters of the show. He kind of ran the numbers. He goes, you know what? You might as well just pay for it from them because the money you're going to save isn't going to be worth the hassle. It's like, okay. So maybe I have 30 days to figure out what I'm going to do with it because they hold my item for 30 days. And each day after that, they start charging me a little extra, At this point, I'm almost ready to just bail on the whole thing and just have to eat my $340. But then I still need to get those away from the warehouse. So I got to figure that out. So hopefully I can find a friend in Japan who is willing to take delivery of these things and do my bidding and take care of them for me. Or package them up and ship them. I know there's importers or exporters. I know there's guys in Japan that people over here use for JDM parts. So it costs a lot less to ship because they won't. When I reached out to Bai, they said that I can't, because of these items are not allowed to be shipped on by sea, which is super weird. I would rather just load these tires up into some sort of container and ship them. And let's deal with them when they get here. And I'll pay the $50 or $100 to get them here instead of the $1,300 that they're trying to get me to pay for them right now. So still working on that. Coming up after the word from 4Wheel Online, John Vassos. For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. Their truck products cover everything to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. Need a wheel and tire package? Head over and use the configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so go get outfitted today. Visit them online at 4Wheel Online. There he is. How are you doing, sir?
There you are. How you doing?
Good. How was your weekend?
Not bad. Not bad. I had dinner with my daughter on the
Saturday right?
night. Yeah. And yeah, we had a great dinner, and I mean, it was.
What'd you eat?
I can't remember the name of the place. We looked at a number of different places. I had asked her to pick out a restaurant that, because I don't know the area at all.
Right.
And I called her on Friday, and she goes, "Well, I don't know. I was looking at this and looking at it." I said, "Well, this place looks interesting." And then I noticed that almost everything on the menu had fish, and her boyfriend doesn't eat fish. And I said, "Well, let's not do that. Let's try a different restaurant." So I made reservations there, and you know, food was good, surprisingly, really good. Because I'm overly critical about food.
You don't say.
It's kind of brutal.
Yeah, you're the reason the food was good at NS Expo. Remember that pretty much.
Oh, it wasn't that good.
It
was better than what it originally was going to be. But I had dinner with Ken Sachs and Jay Hare probably a month ago at a restaurant that Ken wanted to go to. And it was, I've been there before, and it's annoying. You know, it's high priced. Two people are waiting on your table, which for whatever reason, I don't know why they do that.
It's always weird.
Yeah. It's like you're having your water refilled every quarter inch. It's like, would you? And then so we're talking, and she comes up to the table and starts, you know, describing something. I said, "Excuse me, we're right in the middle of a conversation. Would you come back?"
Right.
And she gave me the dirtiest look. I said, "What the f-?"
And she took three steps back and just waited.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, anyway.
Very first world there, John. Damn, that's probably the worst first world problem story I've heard in a long time. But you're right. You can't even get halfway through your cup of water before they're topping it off.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, enough is enough. But today my daughter texted me. She's been doing some clay pottery. Mm-hmm. And she's done a bunch of nice stuff. And we were talking about glazes. And she did a couple of neat things. And I had a bunch of pottery that I had bought at art festivals, and had some really neat stuff that I gave to her. So she sent me a website for this Japanese company that does tea sets and coffee cups and sake sets and gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. I'm thinking, holy shit. You know, a coffee cup's like $50, but man, is it?
That's an expensive coffee cup.
Oh, God, yeah. But they're stunning. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I'm trying to figure out what she might like and get her a couple of things. But
I'll take one of those $50 coffee cups if you're in the giving mood. Yeah,
they're stunning.
I'll put a little tag on it too. This thing cost somebody $50, but it wasn't me.
Well, that's something I've always, every year they have a art festival down at the lakefront, right next to the Milwaukee Art Museum that you were at.
Yep. Beautiful place.
And they probably have 300 artists from all over the country. And it can be anywhere from clothing to photography to woodwork to, you know, ceramics to you name it.
Sure.
Everything, paintings. And so every year I try to save up for that coming up, so I can go and buy one thing. It's nice to be able to help the artists. And, mm-hmm. and this is stuff that you're not going to see. I mean, they're all unique. So there's some pretty neat stuff. But it's something to look forward to every summer.
That's good. So I've heard you were off your chemo. It wasn't doing very good for you then.
No, this last chemo treatment was, which is weird because I've been on chemo now for 3 years.
Yeah.
Varying different types. The first round was the one that was incredibly miserable. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to go through 6 treatments. I stopped it just after the 5th one. Because, losing so much weight and not being able to eat and, just everything was horrible. And then we switched to another treatment, which they neglected to tell me that because I was on this for months. The more you take it, the worse it gets. And I didn't realize that.
The other way?
Well, actually, the body can kind of handle it, and then it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Mm. And it got to the point where after I had the infusion, which, oh my God, 6 hours of 2 different types of chemo. And it got to the point I couldn't even leave.
Wow.
My doctor's office.
Right.
My body would light up like somebody plugged me into an outlet. Every hair follicle just lit up like it was on fire.
Wow.
And so they'd have to give me steroids and all sorts of shit and keep me there for another 3 hours. So I had to go off of that. And then they switched me to another chemo. And that kind of ran its course. They also put me on, it's the one they, Keytruda, the mm-hmm. one you see on TV all the time. Except one of the warnings with that is that it would potentially create lung problems. But during this whole entire process, a year and a half ago, I was getting pretty fatigued. And
you're down to one lung, so, aren't you?
Yeah.
We had phone conversations where you had to take a break halfway up the steps and halfway down the steps.
Yeah. And I'm still dealing with that. I just had a CT scan 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And the cancer in my stomach is getting a little bit worse. And the cancer in my lungs has stayed the same. But I've kind of worked around the breathing thing by knowing what my limitations are and just trying to be protective mm-hmm. of that. And but I still need to. I wish there was some way of eliminating the breathing problem, but I might have to have my lungs tapped because a lot of fluid buildup from the cancer, mm-hmm. which pushes on the lungs and just makes it even more difficult.
Go ahead.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, because of the fluid buildup, you also get run into a problem with phlegm in your lungs. So my day starts out by waking up and then coughing for the first 2 hours to try to get the shit out of my lungs. And it goes on throughout the day of hacking and coughing and trying to cough this stuff up. But it's like, holy shit. Mm. But I've gotten used to it. And so I can somewhat function. Like today, I need to go to the grocery store, but I haven't gone yet because I can't carry a basket around the entire grocery store. I'll end up having to kind of hide it in an aisle until I recoup.
Stash the last one.
I'll tell you, it's pretty, I'm walking and I got my stuff and I'm, putting stuff in the basket and I get halfway through the store and I'm like, I don't know if I can make it.
Why don't you drive the little cart with the basket on there? This is a small basket though, isn't it?
Why don't you fuck off?
I'd pay money to see that. The little NSXCA sticker on the back of it.
So everything kind of has to be, planned.
Yeah.
Like when I do my laundry, it's just ridiculous. I'll put a load in and wash it, and then I might not get down to it for at least a day or two because I have to walk down another flight of stairs to the basement, mm-hmm. And I take it out of the washer, put it in the dryer, and then put another load in the washer. And then this whole thing can take a week.
Your clothes got to stink. Can't you have someone come there and swap out your clothes?
I could have my brother do it, but it's just like I don't want to do that. No, it doesn't have any effect on my clothes. It's I throw it in the dryer and then fold everything in the basement, and then I walk upstairs with the basket, and I stay on the first floor for 20 minutes to a half an hour until I recoup, and then I do the final climb to my bedroom.
I mean, I heard you say it, man. Johnny V stuff don't stink.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
But
what were you doing last summer when I was down there? You were cycling in between, or you were on the stuff that ran its course?
I was on the stuff that ran its course. Mm. But this last treatment they gave me, I had no clue. I mean, as they're injecting it, they got the bag on the stand, and immediately when they started to put it in me, I could feel it immediately take over, and it was just like shit. So I drove home and I thought, okay, the normal process is it takes 2 or 3 days to kind of get through system, and then you can start getting back to normal. But this wouldn't let go. I mean, after first 4 weeks, I was homebound. I couldn't leave the house. I was just totally wiped out. I'd sleep 10, 12 hours and be up for 2 hours and then have to take a nap. And that went on for 2 months. And I told my doctor, I said, fuck this shit. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And so I said, let's just do a CT scan and see where the cancer's at, and we can kind of make a determination from there. But I'm kind of running out of options. Like I told him, I said, it's quality of life is horrible. I mean, I don't see the point of extending my life to have to live like this. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I understand.
Plus I wanted to get it out of my system as much as I could. I still have issues. My fingers are numb. My toes are numb. Bottom of my feet are numb, and I still have, in fact, I just blew my nose before you called. And again, there's blood in my nose. And during this last treatment, my nose bled for almost 2.5 weeks. I mean, to the point where I had to shove each nostril full of tissue, just keep it from running out of my nose and onto the floor. It was just like, holy shit. It was crazy. My scalp was bleeding. Just the weirdest shit.
Sounds terrible.
It's just yeah. Well,
that's not a first world problem, by the way. That's just terrible.
Well, the mental struggle becomes a little exasperating. I'm sure. It's just like, you gotta fight mentally to stay, up. But when it knocks you down that far, it's just like, it's hard staying positive and, moving forward. And it's just like, shit. But we'll see. I mean,
These days I call you and I don't have a car problem. So
really?
No, it's just fun to talk.
Well, I still get phone calls. Yeah. In fact, tomorrow.
You're pretty good at those.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Last week I helped a friend pull his motor on his NSX, and tomorrow I got to take the timing covers off the timing belt and water pump and pull the cams and pull the heads.
Speaking of that, I have this document that one of our mutual friends shared with me. May 2nd of 2023. That's how punctual I am with this stuff. Uh-huh. And it's a list of things, the knowledge we want to capture from the great JV. And, and the fourth item down is common maintenance items to do when doing timing belt and water pump. So what is it you have to do? And first, I mean, I understand. I'm not even going to ask you why you're doing this. I know you. I understand why you're doing it. This is what you do. And, you know, it keeps you busy. It's your joy. You do an oddly, weirdly good job at it. I have dreams of that motor that you cleaned up last year when I was up there at the track. That just, it's weird that it's so impeccably nice. That's become the standard. But I mean, this is just what you do. This is what makes you happy, right?
Yeah, it's well, for me, like, and everybody questions why I do it, but I do it because
I know why you do it. Yeah.
Well, it keeps me mentally sharper.
Yep.
And it's for me. Well, last week when we pulled the motor, you know, I got home that night and I was aching. I mean, my arms, my wrists, my hands. From doing something I haven't done in a while. And that just means the body is, especially with that 2-month layover from the chemo treatment. I mean, I was totally inactive, which means my body goes into, you know, it basically shuts down. You get weak and it starts becoming a major problem. So, like I told my doctor, he goes, well, I don't understand why you're working. I said, I have to. I need to be physically active to fight this because it's, you know, if my body starts to go away, then it's going, you know, everything starts going downhill. Yeah. It's harder to have the mental being of fighting it when you're that low. And so I'll continue. When I can, I mean, after this, after I pull the heads, there'll be a delay because we have to send the heads out to get them milled. Then I got to work on the Ford GT, and that one I'm not looking forward to. It's first time working on a car like that, you know, a mid-engine V8, you know, a supercharger on it, and there's no room in there. But I have to do all the fluids, the oil pump belt, the accessory belt, and the supercharger belt. And not exactly sure. I'll figure it out, but
right.
Know, that's going to be a bit of a project.
Ford GT, huh?
Yeah, 2006. Beautiful car. He bought it. He's had that car. He's actually had two of them. He had a 2006 that he had bought brand new. And surprisingly, it's so weird to think about it. Back when he bought his original 2006, it was dark blue with a white stripe. And he had it for probably a year. And he originally paid like $189 for it, new, straight from Ford. And then he sold it a year later for like $260, which is nothing. The one that I'm working on, he bought, it's a 2006 with just 30,000 miles on it. Paid $360 for it.
Mm.
Those cars with low mileage are going for, you know, $480, $500,000. And he had bought... he came to the dealership when I was still at Acura Brookfield and said, hey, I'm going to buy a Ford GT, the new one. And I went, what are you, fucking nuts? He goes, no, I'm going to do it for an investment. And one of his best friends is Frank Meekum, Meekum Auto Auction.
Right.
And so we sat down in my office and called the Ford concierge. He was approved to buy one. And we built it with the concierge. It was like $580,000.
Jeez.
And it was funny. I said, you know, your color choices are pretty limited. Nothing that I would, you know, want my car to be. And I said, can you do custom colors? He goes, yeah, not a problem. I said, how many of your clients do that? And he goes, honestly, about 3 out of every 5.
No kidding.
I went, what? I said, well, what does it cost to do that? And he goes, well, $30,000 to $40,000.
Surprised it's not five out of every five at that cheap price, right? Jesus.
I said, what? So anyhow, Andy ended up choosing a blue. And it was a lightweight. But when he got the car, it was shipped over to Frank's house. He's got a beautiful area to store cars. And at the two-year mark, he received the title in the mail. Excuse me, directly from Ford. Mm-hmm. He didn't even ask for it. At the two-year mark, that day, the title was in his mailbox, which I thought was pretty impressive.
Wow.
So they took it to auction at Mecum, and he got $1.15 million.
Investment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he never even drove the car.
Wow.
And, yeah, nice return. Mm. Speaking of which, I'll tell you a little story.
Story time. Let's go.
Must have been, just before I closed the shop, Andy was asking, well, what do you like for cars? Because I badgered him like crazy. I said, don't buy anything without telling me what it is, because I tell him, don't do that, do this. You know, just like, oh my God, he's crazy. And told him one of my favorite cars. He goes, you know, if you could have any car, what would it be? I said, well, I've always wanted a Rolls Royce or a Bentley. And that was about the end of the conversation. So he comes to my shop with a Bentley. Four-door, dark chestnut brown. It was just gorgeous with a, you know, tan interior. And it's just like, oh my God. And he goes, well, won't you take it for a ride? If you want, you can have it for a few days. I said, no, I'll just drive it. It was just gorgeous. So about 2 months ago, he bought another Bentley, and it had a very interesting story. It was owned by a elderly woman who bought the car when she was 72 years old and put 4,000 miles on it in that time. It was a 2006 Bentley Silver Spur or Flying Spur. So when she passed away, the estate sold the car, and this guy bought it who owned a car collection. And all of his cars were white, so he had the car wrapped. The original color was kind of a dark charcoal greenish color with a tan interior.
So he wrapped the Bentley.
For $9,000. Put a new set of tires on it. And had it for not even a month when he found another Bentley he liked more. So he put it on Bring a Trailer, and Andy bought it. And So I would, whenever we went out and had lunch or whatever, I'd always drive the Bentley. And it was just, God, I love this car. And it had to have been 3 weeks ago. He calls me up and says, I need your help picking a car up. And I went, oh, Jesus, don't tell me you bought another car. And so I went off to his house, and we drove over to this guy's house and Pewaukee, which is not too far, about a 15-minute drive from his house. And I went to the guy's house, and this guy comes out and opens the garage door, and there's a Bentley four-door Arnage Milner, which is the top of the line. Picnic tables in the back, two-tone black and gray. And I was just like, what the fuck? Andy hands me the keys and says, this is your car.
Oh,
I bought it for you. You can have it until you pass away. And I went, what? And he goes, yeah, I bought it for you. I went, fuck.
It's probably easier to get in and out of than an NSX.
Yeah, so that's what I've been driving the last couple of weeks.
That's fantastic. And I can see it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I feel a little awkward jumping into it if I'm not dressed appropriately.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain point where you can just get in it with pajamas on and no one's going to question. Exactly. There's certain cars you can do that with, and that's one of them. Good for you. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's got the picnic tables in the back, and you know, it's just over the top. And yeah, so
you got to shoot me a photo of that thing.
Yeah, I will. I will. It's got everywhere I go with that thing. People are just gawking at it. It's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, look at this guy. Yeah.
Yeah, no shit. It, but yeah, it's kind of nice.
It's really cool, man.
Yeah. Lucky.
I mean, what are you up to? What are you doing right now? What are you jingling in the background there?
Oh, I was just drinking some lemonade.
Mm. Store-bought or freshly squeezed?
No, store-bought, but I don't drink water.
Yeah.
And so I buy, you know, in the frozen section in those cans.
Oh, and concentrate.
I double the amount of water, so it's just diluted. But, I try to keep as hydrated as I can without drinking water. But in the morning, I have like 5-6 cups of coffee. And the rest of the day, I'm drinking this or Red Bulls.
Did we ever talk about EVs? I don't remember us talking about EVs.
No.
In any of that movement. If it's hybrid forward or if it's... Because I think that it was a big push, right? And globally, whatever. But it almost sounds like people are starting to kind of back it down a little bit and commit to just having hybrids because we don't know a lot of stuff. Like, what is John Vasso's thoughts on EVs and hybrids? That's a lot. It's a lot. Pick one.
Well, I don't like all electric cars, that's for sure. And I'm so fed up. I don't like Elon Musk. At all. And though he's the wealthiest man in the world, but if you look at a Tesla, it's probably one of the most disgusting cars I've seen on the road. You know, it just looks like it's, who the fuck built this thing? And the fact that he's so off the shelf with his thinking. You know, people have got, you know, the fast boost option on their car, and then 2 years later, it's gone. Like, what? Well, we pulled it off the car, you know, through their programming.
That's interesting in itself.
It's like, where the fuck do you get off doing that? You know, it's just, and a friend of mine, Aaron Marshall from Marshall Auto Body, that's where I had my NSX painted, and I had done business with them for 31 years. Fantastic body shop. He's got a phenomenal reputation around the world for these systems he built for his body shop. You know, processes of how to, you know, start and process the car through his body shop. And a friend of his had called him up and said, Aaron, is there any chance you can come out to, I think it was Denmark. We're having a problem with, he goes, we sell a lot of Teslas out here because they're so, you know, environmentally, you know.
Right.
You know. So he said, you know, it's taken us 3 or 4 weeks to get a car through, you know, for service because the supply chain is so fucked up. I mean, it's not like a conventional car company where you have dealerships and part centers and the whole thing is just ass backwards. And originally, when Tesla owners were getting an accident, Tesla would buy the car back and give them another car because they didn't want anybody touching it. Like they had some sort of super duper, you know, whatever car.
Right.
So Aaron flew out to Denmark and went through with the troubles they were having. And, Tesla found out about it and interviewed him and hired him to run their, because they didn't have they didn't procedurally have any body shop information at all. You know, what do you do when one is wrecked? How do you repair it? How do you fix it?
Right.
And so Aaron, I think, was there for 5 years and We would travel back and forth every week. And, you know, I talked to him about, like, because him and his father both have Teslas and they love the cars. But he said, you know, of the, I can't remember, in his department, he had, I think, 274 employees. And he said probably 5% of those people knew something about cars. The rest of them were clueless.
Interesting.
They're all techies. Yeah. I mean, no. And not to mention departments. He said, when you're taking a Tesla apart, you can run across, you know, 40 different fasteners, you know, holding shit together, when it could actually be five.
Right.
Because the departments weren't talking to each other. It's just like, well, I'm going to put this on this. I'll put this on this. And it's just like, what the fuck?
Everything was so siloed.
Yeah. It's just like, so he had a lot of work to do. He said, it's just, not to mention, if you piss Elon off or you do something he doesn't like, you know, he'll jetpack your ass right out of the company. He's just, this guy's a freak.
Yeah.
And the other thing that annoys me is that every car manufacturer, for some reason, I don't know why they do it. You'll see something on YouTube or this or that. They'll have a McLaren doing a standing start against a Tesla a Model 3, you know, for 0 to 60 time. It's like, who gives a fuck? Yes, it's a hybrid. It's all, you know, it's got torque up the ass, so they're very hard to beat.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. We had a company out here, well, not out here, but someone had recently posted, and the thumbnail was confusing, and I watched the video, and I actually ended up appreciating it, but it was NSX Type S against a Lucid, like one of the Lucids, and of course, I go, this is only going to go one way.
Right.
And, you know, after you watch it, I think the point of that video was, you know, obviously it's an apple to oranges comparison. But the Lucid is cool and is heavy and as luxurious as it is, obviously isn't made to sit there and race cars all day. So it may have won round one, but I think that was the only round that it actually won when it came to brainless things like head-to-head acceleration and braking. But there's a lot, I guess, because I know Tesla's had issues in the past with their build quality, and I've always said that they're not a car company, they're a transportation company.
Right.
Maybe it's getting better. I know that it took them forever to be profitable, and now that's just... I was pointing out to my mother-in-law the other day, I was taking her to church, and we were sitting in the turn signal, and of course, you know, taking a left, so everybody was waiting to cross the street in front of us on the green light, and there were three white Model 3s, and I'm 100% sure they weren't related. So, you know, those things are everywhere. But there's other competition coming, and I'm not... You know, speaking on behalf of the EVs, it's just there's so many different ones out there now. And it'll be interesting to see, I think, if these other companies can challenge Tesla, which I don't think so. It could be like a McDonald's versus Burger King thing where McDonald's is just so far ahead.
No, I think there will be a lot of companies challenging Tesla, especially on the range issue and chargeability issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they're going to end up. In fact, they had a... kind of a documentary type thing online about Tesla's new battery. And they spent all the gazillions of dollars building the factory. And it actually doesn't function as well as the previous battery. It's just like, that's, you know, crazy. There's so much technology that's coming up for battery stuff. But, you know, given the choice between a full electric or a hybrid, it would have to be a hybrid. For the fact that you don't want to get stuck. It's got to be a major pain in the ass. Okay, I'm going to go see my daughter in Oshkosh. It's an hour and a half drive. Planning out, okay, I can make it there and make it back on a full charge. But if I'm not at a full charge, then I have to charge the car, which is going to take X amount of time. And yeah. Then I have to plan the, you know, it's just really... You just can't jump in your fucking car and go someplace. Everything's got to be plotted out. And, you know, the coal situation that we had here, you know, down in Chicago, they probably had, in the charging stations that were set up, they probably had 6 or 8 Teslas sitting there that would not charge because it was too cold. And these things had to be towed. It's like, that's crazy.
You know
what's, absolutely.
What's funny is when we're younger, if you want your batteries to last just a little bit longer, they told you to take them out, put them in the freezer. But we know that the cold kills batteries now. Yeah. So it's the extreme hot and the extreme cold. So, I mean, I don't know what the solution is for that. You know, I think some EVs are probably fine to dart around town with, but the challenge, the limitation seems to come with the range. And until I think a technology is introduced, a hybrid makes sense. It makes sense for the manufacturers to pull it back a little bit because of that. Even if they just make a high efficiency internal combustion to go alongside almost like the extra fuel cell in some of the bigger vehicles, you know?
Right.
To kind of go along with it. I think that's probably
well, it also going. Allows the manufacturers time for technology to catch up to what would be more functional in the long run. Not to mention anything hybrid, and I saw it back in the days when they would come in on trade, they're absolutely worthless. I mean, nobody's going to buy a used hybrid full electric car because of the battery issue. You know, if you have to replace it, like a Tesla, it's $20,000. It's like, well, the car's not worth $20,000. Why would I want to do that? You know, it's stupid.
So Sammy Hagar's Ferrari, his law Ferrari, I don't know if you knew this, when they had it at Barrett Jackson this year, it was supposed to be like the premiere. It was like the poster car, and mm-hmm. it couldn't get it up on stage. Come to find out, it needs the whole new electrical battery system or whatever. $250,000.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so why? I mean,
That's a good question. I guess, right, with our car, traditional cars, right, you want something with low mileage, and high mileage doesn't bother you. And I guess with the EVs, it's like exact opposite,
right.
or something like that, where it's the exact opposite of what we think with vehicles, low mileage versus high mileage. You know, you get an EV with 40, 50,000 miles on it, and it's or years, right? So the 2017 NSXs, you know, they're at, what's the math, 5, 6 years, you know, I love my Type S 2022. I don't know what the future holds for it.
Yeah, true. Too early to tell, but
yeah.
It's, you know, and it's unfortunate because it's so political. You know, Honda had been working with hydrogen way back in the day, 10 years ago. Produces no pollution. The only thing that comes out of the car is moisture, water. Cost is super cheap. BMW went hydrogen testing with it, but there's no infrastructure to set up. You know, same with the charging stations. It's just like there's no place for people to go. And even if they went in that direction, I think the government lobbyists would try to kill it.
Well, yeah, that's my thought. I don't want to play Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, but that's a disruptive technology. And I've said that before on my podcast, and you know, I've had people say, I don't know where you're going with that, but think about something that's so revolutionary, it changes everything in the positive, but think about the trillions of dollars across the world that would be sunk if they all of a sudden got replaced with a disruptive technology. Because there's politics, 100%.
Yeah, one of my clients, old guy, he's retired, came into my office one day and said, John, I want you to look at something for me. I said, what? He goes, well, I worked, you know, Schrader Trucking Company?
Mm-hmm.
All over the United States.
Yep.
he managed their trucking division for most of his adult life. And he said, I'm trying to... there's a way to do it. He goes, I wanted to convert their fleet. He goes, I've been talking to them about running on natural gas. And I said, yeah, there's Honda had natural gas cars. It's readily available everywhere. And he said the conversion is fairly simplistic, considering, and it cuts the maintenance out almost completely, except for tires, from the trucking companies. Mileage is pretty predictable, very close to gas. So he goes, you know, I'm thinking about trying to start this with this trucking company. I said, sounds great. And I said, if you need any help, I'll help you with it. So he he started to contact vendors in the United States to provide the natural gas. He got turned down by everybody. He went to the state senators. He got turned down there. The only place he could find it and buy it was Canada. And they literally made it impossible for him to even start in that direction, because they basically all turned him down.
Couldn't get off the ground.
Yeah, just like, they don't want that to happen. You know, it's just like, geez.
It's financially disruptive. Right. There's a lot of pockets exactly. that would be missing that money to save the planet and move in the right direction. And that's just how it is. But, you know, a lot of crazy shit going on out there.
Yeah. But, yeah, whatever. It'll work out some way. Who knows?
So why don't you get back to your laundry, or I know you're not doing the laundry.
But get back to my laundry? No, there's no mold growing on it as of yet, but
yeah. As of yet, yeah. Yeah, let's do this again in a couple of weeks if you're down. And then maybe then we could talk about some of the NSX stuff that I have been tasked to document with you.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
That's your assignment. Make your hit list of things, whether they're productive or you just want to rant about it, because, you know, the triple-decker spoiler on a naturally aspirated car riding stock height with the modifications just doesn't seem to work anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's a lot of things. I mean, shit. Yeah, there are a lot of things. I mean, I've been sending some of my, well, actually, I have, I think, 6 alternators for the early NSX. And every time I do, like I did on my motor, refinish everything,
mm-hmm.
I send it over to this CNS rebuilder. It's, you know, probably 4 miles away from me. And I have them take it apart and sandblast the housing and go through and put new brushes and windings in it. You know, when you look through an alternator, you see the copper windings.
Right.
Well, typically a rebuilder will coat those either green or black with some sort of material.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them I want the original copper because you can see it through the housing. And sandblast the outside of the alternator. It comes in 2 pieces. And I'll pick the pieces up and prime them, paint them, and give them back to you. You can put the alternator back together and test it. So this is no shit. They charge me anywhere from $80 to $100 to rebuild an alternator through that process.
Costs a lot less than an alternator.
Well, the factory alternators are no longer available.
Yeah.
So you have to go, if you can, get an aftermarket.
I can't just go get an AC Delco one or something at AutoZone?
No. No, so it's going to be, I think they're probably in the $300, $400 range. And you really don't know what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Same with AC compressors and the rest of that shit. But it's a very inexpensive way to refinish and refurbish an alternator without spending, huge bucks. But I don't know. I mean, there's starters are like that now too. There's so many things, options versus going with newer or whatnot. The alternators have never really been a problem with the NSX. For the most part, they've been pretty bulletproof. But
I would probably find a way to nuke it if I had one, because that's just what I do.
Yeah. That's what you do, huh?
That's just what I do. Yes. I'm the alternator nuker.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one of those old K-class vehicles, just like, well, not like Peter's, but it uses the exact same motor. And so there's a lot of guesswork in that. I killed the battery because I left the interior light on. So that thing's been charging since yesterday. I think it's ready to go.
Nice. Nice. Well, I'll do my best, buddy.
That's all we can ask for, man. Keep that water filled that you don't drink, the lemonade up. And yeah, I'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, John. Thanks.
Enjoy your day.
Later. You too. I'll tell my wife you said hi. That's always your thing. So.
Well, I wasn't going to say that because it seems to irk you.
No, it doesn't irk me. She's out of town right now, but that always seems to make her excited. So, or happy. Happy. Let me use those terms. Yeah. Happy.
Yeah. Better word.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, love you, bud.
Love you too, man. Talk to you later.
Hopefully, I'll see you this summer.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Right.
Take care.
Want to thank John Vassos for taking time out of his busy day to jump back on the podcast. Again, if you haven't listened to the first one that we did back in April of 2022, you won't find a better episode. It'll be hard to find a better episode in my catalog. That was an extremely popular one, and most people do not finish listening to that with a dry eye. We'll just put it that way. A lot of people that listen to it know him personally and were quite teary, and the feedback was incredible. And I don't do that for the feedback. I do it to help connect people that we interact with. Sometimes we don't really know what's really going on with them, and to help highlight their life and their world and the beauty that can be, the personalities that each of us have. And you don't know until you listen to this podcast. So if you really enjoy this, tell people about it, because I would really like to grow a little bit more. By the way, that conversation was brought to you by The Sales Shop, an Arizona-based retailer that strives to be your destination of choice for wireless services, whether Arizona, Washington State, California, Texas, and Florida. They are an authorized AT&T dealer, so visit them at salesshop.us and get connected today. In fact, they are doing me a very personal favor, hooking me up with a couple of phones that are unlocked for my trip that's coming up to another country. I'll be going to Barcelona, I'll be going to Portugal at the end of this month. So have to decide if I'm going to do some best of shows or just have enough stuff queued up for you guys. But every weekend from here on out, I'm busy. This upcoming weekend, a dear friend of mine is getting married in Prescott. Weekend after that, 18th through the 21st, I'll be in Long Beach for the Acura Grand Prix. And of course, immediately thereafter, I'll be in Portugal and Spain. Want to thank Wright Honda and Wright Toyota, 411line.com, Sales Shop Wireless Services, Auto Cannon, officially licensed Honda and Acura gear, Patreon business supporter Cooley Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida, Pell Construction off County, Michigan, Big House Small Home Design out of Ashburg, Virginia, and Traverse City, Michigan, Shaping Success with West Tankersley out of Boise, Idaho, and Automotive Specialty Tool out of Owings Mills, Maryland. If you're in a position to help the podcast upgrade, please join the Patreon for as little as $3 a month. You get access to bonus audio as well as show swag. I've actually dropped quite a few bonus audios and videos for my Patreons. Special thanks to Mark Stoneman, Catherine Cox, Eddie Ramos, Richard Graves, Byron Jones, Bo Jung, Oscar Mina, Drew Bunkley, and the aforementioned Yasu Chiba. Email the show, hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at Jay Finney. Join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook group in the Hard Parking channel on my Instagram. I'm also on TikTok at Hard Parking J. I can't grow that you're telling the world how great this show is. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. And I will talk to you all next week.
Shut up!